Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We have the opportunity to look specifically at a passage of Scripture. Really, there aren't a lot of passages in the New Testament that describe the office of a deacon, but this is one that actually gives us a pretty good amount of detail, and we're thankful for it. This book gives us a good amount of detail as to how we should operate and how we should conduct ourselves in the local assembly here, specifically at Calvary Baptist Church. Last week, we were able to kind of finish up the small series on just what the Bible says about pastors and elders in the local church. And I'm so thankful for how God used the word. I have probably four or five men who have, from the messages, indicated a desire on some level as far as considering the idea of being a pastor here at Calvary. Remember, we walked through the idea that there can be multiple pastors in an assembly, and they don't always have to be in a full-time capacity. Sometimes they can be part-time. Sometimes they don't require any kind of compensation because of their giftedness and their abilities in other areas, but they are gifted in the area of pastoral oversight. And so as we look towards the rest of this year and as we finish the book of 1 Timothy, God is really working to bring about another group of men who have a desire to shepherd and be a part, not in a full-time capacity, but as God would allow them to use their gifts in shepherding. And so we'll be saying more about that, but I'm just so thankful how God answered prayer. The Scripture invites men to really follow the Lord's leading as He gives them a desire to shepherd God's people. And so we wanted to make sure it was appropriate that we let the Scriptures communicate and invite and let God work, because we understand that it is God that gives a desire in a man's heart to lead His church. And so we look forward to how that process will start in the men who have God has raised up at this point, and perhaps there are more. Some maybe have not communicated with us yet that you have a desire for that particular office in the church, and we look forward to having a conversation with you. I did want to clarify last week, I was kind of in the zone of what I wanted to communicate as far as the Scripture was concerned, and I missed a detail, a very important detail, and I was really, it hit me Monday morning, and I felt horrible about it. I said that we only had three pastors here at Calvary Baptist Church. Well, we're leaving out a very important person. And Guy Altizer was the founding pastor here of Calvary, and he has served faithfully through the decades, and the church gave him the title of Pastor Emeritus. And then in the last few years, he's actually joined the pastoral team again in a very specific way and leading our evangelism, and he's done a wonderful job. I was thinking more of guys who are full-time in that moment. I love Pastor Guy dearly. I'm so thankful for his ministry here, and he's very much part of our pastoral team. And so I wanted to make sure I clarified that for you. Right now, we actually have four pastors, and we're looking forward to the day when God adds to that number. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, the Scripture says, "Deacons, likewise, be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Now, the term deacon in the New Testament You see it here in a very specific sense, but the term deacon really is that idea of a servant. And so from the very beginning, we have in the Gospels the term used, but used in a very general sense in regards to service, whether it be the service of our Lord, the service of the apostles. It's used in a very general sense many times in Scripture. But as the church developed, so the book of Acts is kind of referred to as a book that helps us understand the transition from the time of Christ and to the time when the church was established. The book of Acts gives us kind of the perspective of how the church was formed. It started in those early days when the Holy Spirit came and God decided to work specifically in that particular time and place. Thousands of people were coming to know the Lord. And so there was a time when it was really important for an organizational part of the church to develop. And so there were growing pains with that kind of number. Some would put it as many, many thousands. The scripture is pretty clear about that. But as the church developed, there was a need for leadership to come to the surface apart from just those who were ministering the word. And so Acts chapter 6 is a time in church history when we see that coming about. Now, there's those who would differ on whether that's talking specifically about the office of a deacon. But if you would turn there quickly, Acts chapter 6, I'd like you to see it, if you would, just what was happening at this particular time. Verse 1 of chapter 6 tells us the disciples were increasing in number. And a complaint arose part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, so that we may devote ourselves to prayer." And so this was the occasion where more organization needed to come to the surface in the formation of the early church. And the congregation chose from among themselves these 7 men who could take on specific tasks to take care of the physical needs of people. And so you had 2 different groups of people, and there was some hurt feelings probably happening and maybe some frustration because one group felt like they were being neglected and the others had their needs taken care of. And that happens in a local church where people feel forgotten and things like that. We strive to make sure everything is covered, but there's no perfect place. And people do from time to time. We do miss needs and things like that. But in this particular case, it was important for the church to then respond appropriately to the need that was there. And the instruction came from the apostles to choose men who could take care of daily tasks in this particular group of people so that the apostles at this time could focus on the ministry of the word. Now you fast forward and you go through the book of Acts and you move toward the epistles when we see that the church has now developed and it's more in the reproductive stage where there's multiple churches being established in different areas. And so there's this organization that's already there because in a couple of the passages we have, specifically in Philippians, it says pastors and deacons. And then here we have 1 Timothy, a very kind of concentrated section given to a group of men here, as we see in verse 8, deacons likewise be men of dignity. So we have today followed the biblical example here of Calvary Baptist Church, where we have pastors or elders or bishops, whatever you want to call them, who are to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer and the spiritual needs of the congregation. And then as well, we have a group of men who serve as deacons And many of them are involved in a variety of different tasks. As I mentioned, we're doing the renovation project here on campus, and we have one guy who's able to give. David Hearn's been able to give a lot of attention to that. And so that's the task that he is able to accomplish for the church. And there's other guys who have come around and are able to help. A few weeks ago, we had a problem here that has been really recurring since the church building was built. And our deacons came together, many of them, and they served. They were here at 10 o'clock at night, digging a hole over there. And so there's this atmosphere where God has raised up a group of men to come alongside the pastoral team to help us accomplish what we need to do here and make sure that all the needs are taken care of. And so I want to just briefly look at what God says that this particular person, this man, should look like. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, the description is there that the deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. So these are the qualifications of a man who wants to serve the church in a very specific way. They must be dignified. This is closely related to the qualification that is mentioned earlier as far as a pastor is concerned, that they are to be respectable. They're supposed to be honorable. They should be men who are trustworthy. And so that's a qualification that God puts forth on the men who would come alongside the pastoral team and serve in this way. But I would suggest that should be the goal of every man in our church. Every disciple of Christ should look at this list and say, I want to be this kind of person. Whether God sovereignly puts them in the place of an office, if these are the qualifications that God says, this is what good looks like, then we should be striving for these things. No one is perfect. There's not one pastor perfect here. There's not one deacon who's perfect here. But this should be the desire of our hearts that we live and operate in this way. And so they should be men of dignity, men who are respectable. The second qualification is there that they're not double-tongued, that there is just a real genuineness about their words, that there is credibility, that they don't say one thing to one person and then really come alongside and say another thing over here. That's one way that a person can be double-tongued. But also there could be that desire to really talk bad about people away from their faces. And we don't want to have any kind of culture where that is present in any way. We want to make sure that our love is genuine and we're honoring God with our speech. And so this should be really a characteristic and a qualification of the man who would serve in this role. As well, where the instruction is given here that there should not be addicted to much wine. Again, we saw this in the elder qualification. A man is disqualified from the office of a deacon if he is addicted to wine or strong drink, or I would say in any kind of substance. There should not be addiction there. A person who lacks self-control and who is undisciplined should not be serving in the office of a deacon. Someone should be have the reputation of being controlled by the Spirit of God. As well, the next qualification is he should not be fond of sordid gain. He should be an honest person when it comes to financial affairs. He should not have a greedy heart. If a person is a lover of money, he probably should not be a deacon. Why? Because many times the deacons are the ones who are responsible for the financial affairs of the church. And our deacons serve in this way. And so it needs to be an evident quality in a man's life that he is not going to misuse or mishandle the funds that God supplies for the church. And so that's a very important qualification. And then as well, he should be able to hold fast to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And this is kind of a general way to describe that he must understand the gospel. And he must understand how the gospel, the mystery of faith, applies to everyday life. And that's the clear conscience piece of it. where there's a man who is not a new convert. He's someone who has experienced the gospel personally, and he understands the word, and he has been tested, as the scripture tells us. There's been a season of time where his life matches what he says he believes, but there's an understanding of the gospel. There's a credible profession of faith there, and there's a credible life that represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these are the things that we should all be striving for, but they have to be present in the life of those who would desire to be a deacon. Now, if you continue in the scripture in verse 11, it says, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things." Now, this is something that, again, there is quite a bit of debate over in biblical environments, where the question would be, is this referring to the deacon's wife, or is this referring to a group of women who can serve in the realm of being a deacon? And so there's good thoughts along both lines, and I think it's important that we understand both sides of the equation and understand how we came to the conclusion here at Calvary. But I would say that, from the perspective, if you're reading from a New King James Version today, it probably, or the King James Bible, probably refers to them as deacons' wives. But other translations would say that it would be just women in general. I think perhaps some of the language here, it says women likewise should be dignified. I think there's probably some textual evidence here that there's another group of people being spoken about concerning these things. He's already dealt with the women in general in the church, but I think perhaps he is opening up for women to serve in a role as a deaconess. Now, there's not that term here, but that is something that I think you can come to a conclusion that is something that is important. I think in Romans chapter 16, we perhaps have an illustration of that with Phoebe. It says that she was a servant of the church. And just the way that the scripture puts it here, I think that it's a possibility. Now, here at Calvary Baptist Church, we don't have women specifically that serve in this realm. And I really don't think it's necessary for that to happen. I'm not trying to keep women in their place or anything like that, or belittle them in any way. But really, because there's evidence on both sides here, and really it's only talked about here in this text, I don't know that there's enough evidence to go ahead and institute it. I think that we have women here who serve so faithfully, and if there is a role of the deaconess, they certainly fit that. In fact, we had, even yesterday, there was one of our ladies here at the church that served all day long helping one of our young couples get married, and basically she served all day long in that capacity. Those are deacon-type roles. Our meals that we have, there are those who faithfully serve and help organize those things, and our nursery ladies, and I could go on and on about the different ways that women serve our church faithfully. And so I think the important thing is to understand what their character is supposed to be like. And it's not about a title. It shouldn't be about a title. But there are some very specific things here that all women should be striving for. In verse 11 there, it says that they should be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And so these are very similar to the men, but still specifically speaking to the women, that this was a qualification, that they should be dignified as well. They should be respected. They should have a life that is honorable. Also, that there should not be the characteristic of their lives where people would know them to be a gossip. Unfortunately, in a church, not specifically here at Calvary Baptist, but many times in churches, it's kind of known as the women who are the talkers. And thankfully, we don't have that culture here. But I hope, as a woman, you don't want to have that reputation at all. You're very careful to keep your thoughts and your words very, very guarded. And you're not known as the one who tears people down or is judgmental and really criticizes other people behind their back. You really don't want to be known as that. And the Bible makes that very clear that you should not be double-tongued in that way. But there should be a temperate description of your life as well. There should not be addictions, and your life should be controlled by the Spirit of God. Faithful as well, again, holding to the mystery of faith. It should be a desire for every woman to understand the gospel and understand how the gospel applies to everyday life. And so these are great, helpful qualifications that we should all be striving for. We should strive to understand the gospel and really every day try to live that out in the context that God places us in. We should be careful with our words at every point. We should be genuine in our love. There should not be hypocrisy in our midst. We should be striving to honor God with our life so there is a honorable or a trustworthiness about us. So I think from a conclusion standpoint, you could have a church that would have the role of a deaconess. That would be no problem. But I would say that it doesn't necessarily have to be there either, because there isn't a lot of scripture that speaks to it. I think what God wants us to understand is that he wants us to be like Jesus. He gives us these qualifications, and he wants us to be serving him. And so think about these things as we organize and as we operate as a church. We want to be faithful to the word. And we're so thankful that God has established the offices of pastor and deacon so that we can fulfill the purposes. Would you go back to the text in verse 12? It says, deacons must be husbands of only one wife. We talked about this term in the qualifications of a pastor, that he should be faithful, a one-woman man. That's kind of the idea there. And then as well, good managers of their children and of their household. Again, there is no one who is perfect. There is no perfect family. There is really just an overall desire should be where someone wants to lead their family in the way of the gospel and wants to organize them and really honor the Lord through the process. And so that's important to consider when we think of the office of a deacon as well. And then verse 13, for those who have served well as deacons, obtaining for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is a wonderful privilege that God would allow a man to come alongside and really serve God's church. And as I mentioned in my prayer earlier, there have been men who have served in the role of a deacon faithfully for decades, and now they're in heaven rejoicing and enjoying Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is. It says, for those who have served well, they obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith of Jesus Christ. And so this is a wonderful opportunity that we have as a church to find men who are deaconing or serving faithfully, and give them a task to do. If they qualify, let's identify them and let's give them a task. That's what the scripture says in Acts chapter 6, that there was a specific task that needed to be done. And so there were men that God supplied from the congregation with the congregational's approval to do that. Some of the tasks around that our deacons take care of, they take care of our facilities. They take care of the grounds and help us along those lines. We do have some staff that as well do a lot of that work, but it's under the care of the deacons. We have finances that our deacons care for. We have a team of guys that are always looking at that and evaluating, make sure everything is done properly. There's a lot of accountability, and the pastors do not get involved in those things. In the overall budgeting aspects, we do speak into and try to provide direction, because that does fall under a spiritual oversight. But as far as the daily interactings and knowing who gives what and all those kinds of things, that is not our role. The deacons take care of that. A lot of times there's service prep or other kinds of things that need to be done as far as special events. We have some of our deacons who will be cooking hot dogs this afternoon for our community. And so there's these tasks that come up within the life of a church, and men who are qualified should be identified and given the opportunity to serve in this way. And so I want to, as we close here this morning, I want you to understand who our deacons are. And so I'm going to have the men just stand up. If you're in the audience, can you come on down? Because we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper. But guys, go ahead and stand up. And if you would turn toward the, come on down, guys, turn toward the audience. With summertime, we have many of them who are out. Dwayne, come on down. Here's Kyle. He's coming in now. And keep standing and just turn toward the audience. I wanted our church to know who the deacons are, because if there's a need, these are the guys to come to. We have a rotation basis where they serve for a few years and then they rotate off. And so we have, it does change from time to time. But I'm so thankful for these men, and I wanted you just to be able to see them specifically so that if you have a need, you would know who to come to. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing through these men, and I'm going to pray for them at this time, thanking the Lord that he brought them to us, and thank him for their service to us. And then just, again, ask that God would provide more as he sees fit, that we would be able to identify men who love to serve the Lord and are qualified to do that, and give them opportunity. We want to make sure we're faithful to the scriptures along those lines. So let me pray and thank the Lord for our time. God, you're so kind to reveal to us how a church should operate, what the leadership structure should be. God, you've given clarity as to who can serve in this specific capacity in the office of a deacon. Lord, those whose life represent the gospel well. And Lord, we're so thankful for these men who give many hours to serve our congregation. And Lord, they take care of the tasks that are so important for us to maintain and keep up with all the needs. And as well, help the pastoral team to really focus on the spiritual oversight. So God, I want to just give you praise and thank you for your kindness in giving us such strong leadership here at Calvary Baptist Church. And I pray that you would bless their lives, and I pray that you would use them for your glory as they serve in this capacity. Lord, thank you for each one of them. And Lord, we ask that you would just help them to serve you faithfully in the days to come. In your name we pray. Amen.